You will acknowledge him as your tribal chief. I love the name. We are here live with the gimmick. As always, me and my co-host Ryan, we're gonna break down WrestleMania night one and two. And needless to say, this was a really solid WrestleMania, Ryan. Really solid.
Yeah, it was solid, and we'll get into both nights. I know the popular thing to do would probably be to kill night two, but I wouldn't necessarily do that. I wouldn't go that far.
I think night two was a success. Was it as much of a success as night one? I would say yes, but people will say no because of the impact night one had with the fans and the first time ever in the stadium. I think they were equally good. I think night one just gets an edge because of the fan base, first time in the stadium, the delay. They were really hyped on night one. And I think that's why it gets the slight edge.
I thought night two was a lot better. I mean, night one was a lot better, but I still thought night two was fine.
Let's start with night one. Let's go with the first match, which was Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley. And Ryan, I'll let you give your take first on this.
With the weather delay, I think they kind of started off with a disadvantage. I think that the fans having to leave and come back in kind of killed some of the momentum, and so they were kind of working against that. But I mean, overall, it wasn't a bad match. It was fine. I watched it again today. My son was watching it, and it was a good match, but it didn't blow me away. I mean, it wasn't what it could have been.
I'm gonna go out and say God isn't a Drew McIntyre fan. I'm just gonna say he wins the Rumble last year. COVID hits. He can't. WrestleMania, no fans. Wins the title. Has an epic run through the whole year. It's gonna come out first time with fans to get his huge pop. There's a weather delay. They weren't right into it right away. I feel like if there wasn't a weather delay, that pop would have been a lot huger for both parties. And I think overall they were limited with the weather in that match. But I would overall rank that match a B, solid B. It was a good match. It wasn't a great match. It wasn't something that I wowed myself with at WrestleMania, like a WrestleMania match for a title. I just thought it was a good match, and I mean, I'm sure they're gonna do it again next month. So, overall, solid match.
Yeah, I'd also give it a B. I wouldn't argue for a C plus, but it was fine. And I thought the whole segment in the beginning with Vince was good, with him doing the old WrestleMania. It was a little emotional.
It was a great pop. It was what everybody needed. Like, I think that's exactly what everybody, all wrestling fans needed. That night was really good for that. Vince coming out, everybody there just enjoying the fans, taking it all in. It was a great moment, and probably an I one of the more iconic moments in wrestling. I think this is something that's going to be talked about, 10, 15 years from now.
Yeah, I agree. And we got some unscripted promos too while they were trying to kill time, so.
Yeah, we did get a little bit of that, and it was good. And then so we got a solid B to start off, and then, well, the second match was probably the worst match of WrestleMania. In my opinion, which was the women's tag gauntlet. I'll start off with this one. I'm giving this an F. I thought there was way too many botches in this match. I thought it was I'm gonna, yes, it was raining out. Mandy Moore slipped. What's her name? Her partner, her boob hang up got popped out. There was a bunch of mishaps.
Mandy Moore.
Yeah, Mandy Moore. Mandy. I can't.
No,
Well,
wasn't it Dana Brooke that slipped?
no, it wasn't Dana Brooke. It was Mandy Rose that slipped. I said Mandy Moore. Mandy Rose that slipped, and she was wicked embarrassed about it. She was getting roasted on Twitter. And then Dana gave you the ass tattoo, and then gave you the and then gave you the cleavage shot, which was both in that aspect of them. They're gonna get buried soon. I'm pretty sure Vince isn't happy with that. And the Riot Squad did their best, but again, it was just very botchy. It just makes me. It just goes to show you that they need tag teams in the worst way. I'm both for the men and for the women.
Yeah, the thing I noticed the most too was it seemed so lackadaisical. Like a lot of the women in this match didn't have any energy. I don't know if it was nerves, but they were laying everything in like very soft and very slow, and a lot of them just looked very green. I thought, I don't know. Overall, I would say maybe like a D. Maybe there was a little bit of effort in there, but this was by far the worst match of the night.
It was the worst match of Mania. It was the worst match of night one, night two. I don't think you could have got much worse in that performance. And it's nothing to discredit the women in WWE because a lot of them are phenomenal. And we'll get to the phenomenal parts of the women's division, but the tag division needs work. And I do think in night two some stuff got changed. Ended up being Natty and Tamina that won it. It was very unimpressive, and like I wouldn't even sugarcoat it. It was bad. It wasn't something to write home about. Anything that was just terrible.
I thought, if anything, I thought that the women's tag match, I know they wanted to get more women on WrestleMania, but I thought that maybe this should have been on SmackDown.
Yeah, I almost felt like the fatal four way for the men's title probably should have been on the card,
Yeah.
and then this should have been on the pre-show, because they were gonna have to go back. You had 3 nights to work with. It wasn't like NXT that just had 2 nights. You had 3 nights to work with, and I feel like you could have just put this on Friday and then had them wrestle Nia and Shayna on Sunday. Give them, I just felt like where the tag match and the pre-show, which we skipped ahead, we didn't cover it, but we'll cover it as we go along. The Dirty Dogs retained. I was shocked about that, but again, overall, this was just a piss poor match in general.
Yeah, I agree. Luckily, the next match was the total opposite.
Yes, and I
And
believe.
really, that was only the only bad match of the night.
Yeah, it was the only bad match of the night. And the good thing is it didn't suck the life out of the room. It was, that was the good thing about it. And match three, was it Seth and Cesaro?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, they recovered with the once Seth's music hit, it was like, okay, I'm back in this now.
Yeah. Got right back into it. Seth and Cesaro match, Ryan. I'll let you start on how you felt about it. Give a letter grade and give us your thoughts.
This match was great. I was really happy for Cesaro. It's just this match just reinforced for me how great Seth is and how much I appreciate him. And just the resume that he's building up, WrestleMania after WrestleMania. But Cesaro really shined in this match, and it was good to see him have his moment. And when I was watching this match, it felt to me that this was going to be like really hard to top.
Yeah, I agree. What was your letter grade on it?
I would say a B plus.
All right,
A
good.
minus, B plus, A minus.
We're right in the same track. I'm going to give it an A minus. I'm going to give it because I am a huge Cesaro mark and I'm a huge Seth Rollins mark. And I think that you couldn't have paired Cesaro up with a better opponent. You look what Kevin Owens and Seth wrestled last year at Mania. Kevin, towards the end, caught a full head of steam, was in the main event quite a few times, had some great matches with Roman. I think this is going to start to be the push for Cesaro, and I wouldn't be surprised very shortly if he is starting the feud with Roman, Roman going forward and bigger names and just, I just thought it was great. I love the UFO. I remember he used to do that in the Indies a lot. He did it a couple times at WWE. He hasn't been doing it much. Brought it out for WrestleMania. As much as I'm not the biggest fan of the swing, I am a huge fan of Cesaro. I'm so glad that he won. And I think big things are coming forward for Cesaro. I think he finally grabbed that brass ring, so to speak.
Yeah, the UFO was great. And I heard a cool fact on that. They were saying that somebody had asked him years back when he was in the Indies why he didn't use that. And he was saying he was saving it for WrestleMania one day. So
yeah,
he really did. He protected it, and it was pretty cool. And then also another thing was he broke his record with the 23 swings. But I had seen somewhere that apparently he's had a match before where his real record is 100 swings, which is crazy to think about him swinging somebody 100 times.
Yeah, but, how does he not get dizzy? Like I swing my kid like 5 times. I gotta stop. It's like, oh, okay. No, this match was on pace to be the match of the night. I thought it was gonna, like you, I thought it was gonna be real hard to top, and it was a solid match. I think it was a great moment for Cesaro, and hopefully big things moving forward. Next on the card, I believe,
was New Day.
Yes,
New Day versus AJ and Omos.
I'll start off with I liked it. I didn't have anything wrong with it. I love the way they did it. It was great psychology. They New Day's plan was to trap AJ in the ring. AJ took a lot of heat from Kofi and Woods. Then the hot tag to Omos. Omos, did what a big guy is supposed to do in the ring. It's, look, they're not, when they're that size, they don't do much. But it looks effective, and as long as it looks powerful and looks effective, it looks good to me. I would say overall, I give this match a B minus, C plus, in that range is what I'll give it. I think it was good for what it was. Congratulations to AJ Styles for now being a Grand Slam champion. The Miz can't say he's the only Grand Slam champion anymore. and, you know, a lot of people a few years ago, and I'm going to say this, said that, oh, WWE got AJ Styles. He's going to get buried. He's not going to be the same like he was. He's not. They don't take TNA and New Japan seriously. He came up right to the main roster. He didn't jump to NXT. He's a Grand Slam champion. I think AJ's had some of his best moments right here in WWE, and I think he'd tell you that too. He was phenomenal in TNA, and he was briefly in WCW. He was great in New Japan, but AJ's having a hell of a career in the WWE. And like I said, this was a good match. It was solid. C plus, B minus, max on that one.
I'm gonna have to go ahead and give this a higher rating than the Seth and Cesaro match.
Really? You're lying.
No, just kidding.
No, you're lying.
No, this match exceeded my expectations, though. It really did.
It did. We complained about this. We've openly complained about this. Like, oh, God.
No, it exceeded my expectations for sure. And I thought that New Day were perfect for this match. Just the way they played it off and just the facials and the reactions when Omos finally got the hot tag. I thought it was great. I would give it a solid B, B+.
Yeah. The only thing I'd give like an F in this match is Omos's ring gear. I didn't think that was honestly, like, they could have done a better job for this guy at WrestleMania. Come up with some better gear. Hopefully they get him some better gear moving forward with him and AJ. But I mean, makeshift tag team, understand Omos needs someone like AJ Styles to help him grow as a wrestler, and it's a good starting point for him. I like that they won the tag titles.
Yeah, the
Good for them.
phenomenal forearm off the shoulders was pretty cool too.
Yes, it was. That was actually a high point of the night. I thought that was yeah, I'm surprised I missed that. That was one of my high points of the night. Probably one of the better spots of night one too. Moving forward, and I'm probably going to eat some crow for this. It was Braun versus Shane McMahon. It exceeded my expectations, and Ryan, I'll let you start on this one.
It was pretty much exactly what I thought it would be. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. Could have done without it. I didn't mind watching it, but it wasn't my favorite thing of the night. It was fine. The Shane off the cage spot was cool, I guess. It was pretty much exactly what I expected.
Yep. Shane got another WrestleMania moment. What's your letter grade on
I'd
this?
say B-.
B minus. I'm gonna go less than that. I'm gonna go C minus on this. But it did exceed my. I was thinking this was gonna be the F of the night, and it wasn't. There was a couple cool spots. I liked how Braun ripped open the ring, the cage, and this and that. I was right on a prediction, but I'll save it for later because it was in the wrong match, but. This was yeah, the spot was cool. The match was okay. Braun deserved to go over on that, won the match. Yeah, C minus for me. I didn't think it was terrible. It was okay. And I mean, there's not much more I could say on it. It was okay.
Yeah, it was hard to forget it was hard to forget everything we had to sit through though to get to that match. I wasn't gonna
Yes.
forget it.
No. Yes, I didn't forget it either. You know, some of the stuff I forgave and forgot, but that I did not forget what we got to get there. The next match was Miz and Morrison versus Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. And wow. It exceeded my expectations beyond, I think, everybody's expectations. I've earned a wild amount of respect for Bad Bunny, and what he did. He was absolutely phenomenal. Damian Priest played a great role in the supporting cast. Miz and Morrison were perfect for this. So many great spots, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna give this a straight A plus. I thought this was a great match. Well thought together, way exceeded my expectations. A plus. I'll give it an A. I don't want to give it an A plus, but I'll give it an A. I was shocked, amazed, and happy at the end of that match, and that's exactly what I want after a wrestling match.
Yeah, I agree. I gave it an A too, and I think that this got the loudest pop of the whole WrestleMania weekend from the fans, and this got the biggest reaction on social media.
Yes, it did.
This to me was one of the memories that'll stand out the most when I think about this WrestleMania, and I was just blown away by Bad Bunny. I mean, at first they kind of trolled me a little bit when the bunnies came out, and I was like, "Oh, here we go." But yeah, overall this really surprised me, and I thought it was funny how his big spot was that Canadian Destroyer, and just how overused that move has been in AEW and even sometimes WWE. It was great that Bunny was the one to pull one of those moves off, and it just makes everybody else look that much worse for using it, because now this the celebrity just came in and did it better than half of you.
He did it. Incredible.
And
And then,
sold better than half of the AEW roster.
yes, I'll say this, and we'll get into the Tony remarks before we get into night two, and we'll talk about that briefly. But I think Bad Bunny, who's a lifelong WWE fan, born and raised into it, was his dream to be on WrestleMania. Guys, you know, living his dream in music, lived his dream in WrestleMania. You know, I can't say enough, you know, what Randy Orton said. Randy had high praise for him. Triple H, high praise for him. I fully expect him to be back again at some point and maybe do another match or two. It seems like he's one of those that, like, yeah, I'll come back. I had the time of my life. I'll do it again. And it was great. I mean, it was great for him. I'm happy for him. And Miz and Morrison, if it's any consolidation for you, Hey Hey Hop Pop is over in my house. My kid loves that song. So
my kid loves it too. And yeah, I think they deserve credit too for everything they did to get mm-hmm. this angle over. And Priest came out looking good too. This was good for him. So
yeah,
I think this worked out for everybody. Priest, the fans, he earned my respect. And I think he definitely earned the WWE locker room's respect.
Right. And Priest is undefeated on Monday Night Raw. And it just seems to me with Priest, they're grooming him for Roman. And he's the next Roman. I'm sorry, I fans, you may love him, you may hate him, but he's the next Roman. That's who they're grooming as their next big guy. It's going to be Damian Priest. I think he's got the look. He's starting to really, really put it all together. I love the double Falcon Arrow spot.
Yes, that was great.
I love that. And I think this match has gotten Damian Priest more over than he could imagine. I will not be surprised if Damian Priest will be challenging Bobby Lashley within the next 3 months.
Now, do you think that he's going to be similar to Roman also in the way where they try to like shove him down our throats and a lot of the fans reject him?
I don't know. I hope that they book it differently with him. I think you can interject him in some mid-card matches, maybe IC title, US title matches, have him be the US champion. You know, he's undefeated right now. Let him keep the streak going for a few months. Let him get hot, you know, and then put him in the face of a champion, whether it be a mid-card champion or whether it be a world champion, put him in the face of a champion. And then let him take, you know, because if Bobby Lashley ends his undefeated streak, it's at SummerSlam, you know, that just makes it that much more, like, better. And the one thing Raw's lacking is star power. I say that. And you know, and this is a show that has Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, Randy Orton, Sheamus. They have some stars on that show, but it's lacking something. And I think Damian Priest could be that guy and really could get the nod to be a champion this year. But I still think, you know, he's going to pay his dues. And I think that's what, you know, Vince is big on that. So I could see him challenging Bobby at SummerSlam, losing at SummerSlam, having a few, maybe take it. You know, I don't think he'll go into Mania as a champion. So it's just a matter of what they have planned and going forward.
Yeah.
Moving forward. was the main event. Was the main event. It was Sasha versus Bianca. And this one delivered. It delivered. And I am very critical on Sasha Banks. I'm pretty critical. I'm very much a Bianca Belair fan. And I was nervous about this match. And you were nervous about this match, especially at main eventing. And they tore the house down. Ryan, your thoughts? They did.
And I feel like both of us are kind of in different sides of this match, whereas you've said before that you think Sasha is overrated. And I've said that I don't necessarily 100% know if Bianca was ready. I think, to me, this match proved that I think Sasha's underrated, and Bianca totally proved to me that she was ready for it, and they hit a home run with this. I was very nervous for this match, but they delivered.
They did. And my favorite spot of the match was the suicide dive outside of the ring. She rolled her up and then gorilla pressed her back and then walked her up the stairs and gorilla press and brought her back in the ring. And then I would say the hair whip where, I mean, you've seen it on the side of Sasha. She got welted pretty well with that. But Sasha made her earn it. Usually, you know, that's what you want when you're in a championship match at WrestleMania in the main event. They worked so hard together. It was a beautiful moment with her and Montez Ford at the end after, you know, when she got backstage. And then her and Triple H, which Triple H was in Gorilla. I'm just saying Triple H was in Gorilla at WrestleMania night one. So just keep that in mind. you know, it was an amazing main event, and I'm happy for the both of them. And yeah, Sasha proved me wrong. She delivered like this. I mean, she's always delivered at Mania to me, and there's just times where I feel like she gets lost as a character, and I don't want to put this on Vince, or I don't want to put this on creative. I think sometimes it's just her where she gets lost, but she delivered and she impressed me a lot. And this was the A+ of night one for me. This was the absolute home run.
Yeah, this was an A+ for me too. And I'm still debating on whether or not this is still my favorite match of both nights.
It's kind of hard. Colin O'Reilly stole the show for me. It's hard, and I feel like if there was more fans in NXT, it would have been a no-brainer on what matches were the, because they were both great, and I like it like this. When it's tough to pick like that, this was definitely the match of the night for WrestleMania. It definitely was there. It delivered, and it exceeded my expectations. And I was done when I was done with it. I was happy. I was pumped for night two.
Yes.
And then we get into night two, and we start off with The Fiend versus Randy Orton, which was shocking to me that they started with this, because I felt like that was booked wrongly. I thought this should have been in the middle of the card, and they should have started with, in my opinion, Kevin and Sammy. I thought that's what they should have started with. But the entrance for The Fiend was incredible. The match was decent. It was what I expected from them too. We know The Fiend is the new modern day Kane Undertaker merge thing, and you know there's certain things he just doesn't sell, which is part of his gimmick. But I'll give this a C+. This is where it was for me. It was okay. The best part of it was Alexa transforming into her version of The Fiend. But it also helped Randy win, so I don't know where that's going.
This was maybe my least favorite match of both nights. I don't want to kill it, because I've seen enough of this stuff with The Fiend where it is what it is, and I know what I'm getting with this. So, I mean, I don't hate it, and I wouldn't begrudge anybody who thought this was better than I do. Because I thought it looked cool as hell in the beginning when they had him in that like that chain link tunnel type thing or whatever. It looked badass.
Yeah.
I wasn't crazy about him just like walking through some kind of portal and like regenerating into the old Fiend instantly. Whatever. I mean, that's what you're gonna get with this stuff. And I wasn't crazy about wasn't crazy about all the stuff dripping down Alexa's face. To me, like, the Fiend gimmick is fine. It looks cool, but I haven't really enjoyed any of the matches, and I just feel like all his matches and his storylines have been so long, and then by the time we get to him, I'm just always feel disappointed. And I'd rather just see Alexa, him, and Randy wrestling, or, like, I almost prefer, like, Bray Wyatt and just straight-up Alexa than this, but
I agree. I think they need to shorten his feuds a little bit. I think they're telling too much of a tale when he's in a feud. I think you can keep some of these short and to the point. I don't think it was a bad match. I think it was good for what it was. As great as Randy is and Bray is, they are limited. I will not say that about, they are limited workers. There's only so much they can do. But I would, I felt like with it being the opener, it was kind of rushed a little bit. It was, I felt like it wasn't the pace setter that you wanted going into WrestleMania night two. Yeah, but I, overall, I gave it a C plus. Ryan, what was your grade on it?
Yeah, I'd give it a solid. I'd give it a C minus, maybe even a D. Man, I don't know. I just didn't. I don't like how the Fiend doesn't no sell all the stuff, and then now all of a sudden he sells an RKO. Now he gets beat and.
Yeah,
I just thought this whole build, and they that's what they left us with. Just more questions.
Well, it's almost like it raised more questions. Like, is this new like thing with Alexa? Is this like, is this a transformation of power with him and her? Like, where if she's out like that, he gets weakened. Like, what is like this like thing going on? I guess they're telling a story with it, so. I can only kind of figure out like what's going. Like, I didn't really like the way they did it with Alexa, but like I get it. I love the Jack in the Box. I like the entrance. The match overall was just a good match to me. It wasn't bad, but yeah, there is some stuff they need to work on with this, and they need to tune this up because this guy's over. The Fiend is over. You got to tune this up. You got to make this better because he is over. And Bray Wyatt now has been, what, a three-time world champion. All been in short runs, which I'm fine with because big guys usually don't need long title runs. And Bray, I don't think, needs a title. But when you're going to put him in feuds, you've got to make them memorable. And I think the ending to this, after all the wait, all the delay, was lackluster. So that's, you know, to me, it was a C+. And I love Bray Wyatt. I'm a Bray Wyatt fan.
I'm a Bray Wyatt fan. I'm not so much of a Fiend fan because I feel like with the mask and with him not speaking as much, like we miss out on so many of the talents that Bray Wyatt has. The matches aren't as much of a wrestling match. They're more of an attraction. And you don't get those long, very thoughtful, you know, promos he used to do as Bray Wyatt.
Mm. I will say this. I did love the tribute to Luke Harper. I think he said, "Behold the Dark Order" or something like that during the match. And so he said something along the lines. He said something about Luke. And I did love that. And let's not forget, this was an emotional return for him. This is his first time wrestling since Luke Harper died. And he did a little tribute to him. He's hasn't really been much on camera. I did like the little tribute to Harper, to Brody. That was nice.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch that.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't hear what he said. I thought he said "Behold the Dark Order," but his face. It was right when his face was right in the camera, and he did a tribute to. He did something for Brody, and that was.
I did love
that
the
was awesome.
Line off the Jack in the Box. That was pretty cool.
I did like that as well. That was pretty cool. I do. I love this character. I do. I really love this character. And I think, you know, I think this character could fill a void what Kane is leaving. Because, like, you know, we all love Kane. I think this character could fill that void. And I think it could be better. Like, it could be as good as Kane. But you need to do it right. And then, you know, but it was overall, it was a good match.
I love the look before of it, and I love the look of it. I just don't like the execution of it all the time.
That's right, and I'm with you on that. And then we'll go into the second match of night two. Was that Kevin
Maddie
and Sammy?
Tamina versus Jackson Baszler.
That's right. This lackluster match. To me, both women's tags were the worst part of each night. I think Natty and Tamina were supposed to go over, but the bad performance on night one left them with, hey, we're going to keep it on Nia
both,
and Shayna.
These were both the second matches on both nights, the women's matches, which is the worst spot. The two spot is the worst spot to be in.
Yeah, so yeah. And I thought this match was better than the round robin that they had, or the gauntlet. And but it to me it was a D. It wasn't this, and especially this coming after the Fiend and Bray Wyatt, where you were really confused with the ending, and then you're watching this, you kind of lost a little bit of momentum in WrestleMania for this. This was not a pretty match. Stuff was not executed properly again. Tamina botched a few spots. Again, I think this was nerves from her. I think they found out that night that they weren't taking the titles. You could see it right on Natalya's face. I will say this, the knee to the face, Shayna's got to be careful with those. She clocked
Yeah, for a
Natty
minute, I
with
really
that
thought her
knee.
jaw was broken.
Yeah, she clocked her with that. And that was, you got to be careful with those. Shayna is a former MMA fighter, and she's usually really consistent in the ring. I don't know if she's like kind of out of her element with this. I'm only assuming it hasn't been a terrible title run for them. I think her and Nia are actually a pretty good tag team. I think she covers up Nia's flaws pretty well. But I think right now, and the other thing was, where's Nia's man?
Yes, where was Reginald? Nowhere to
Where
be
was
found.
Reginald? Why isn't Reginald
He
on
was
this?
on every little bit of this angle all throughout the weeks and months leading up to this WrestleMania, and then he's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, this wasn't good. There was a maybe a spot or two that was good, but I didn't enjoy it. I was not overly thrilled with this, and so I would say at this point, yeah, to me it was a D plus. I can't give it any higher
I
than
give it a
that.
C minus. I thought they had the Fiend Orton match in the finish before them working against them. Also, the fact that they just threw Natty and Tamina into the title picture like last minute, and you had two heel teams working against each other because Natty and Tamina have been on SmackDown acting heelish. So like the crowd really didn't like almost
Yeah.
didn't even know who to root for. I think the match itself was actually a half decent match. It was just the fact the crowd couldn't get into it. I couldn't get into it. It's I don't know if it was necessarily the fault of the performers. It was just the spot it was in and the circumstances around it and just the build before it. They were Natty and Tamina weren't right for this.
I'll say this, give it to the
Yes.
Riot Squad. Like they were the first of all, they were the best team in that gauntlet. They should have won that match. And they should look, they're the best organic tag team they have in the women's division. Let them hold the titles and go on a little run with them. Like they could hold that for a year and they'd probably do really well with it. Ruby's a great worker. I remember her as Heidi Lovelace in Ring of Honor and all that stuff. And I always forget her name. I just know her as Enzo's
Carmel.
ex. No, Enzo's ex.
Oh, I don't know.
What's her name? Ruby's partner. Why am I forgetting her
Oh,
name?
Liv Morgan.
What's Ruby Riott's partner's name?
Yeah.
Liv. Yes.
Oh, I didn't
It's
know that.
Enzo's ex. That's all I know. Yeah. But she. But I mean, she's even gotten really better. In her ring and in the ring, and I loved their attire as Joker and Harley Quinn. I thought it was great. I really thought they should have went over. And I think I would have bumped that match up, and I would have forgave some of the botches. But oh, excuse me. Overall, it was a lackluster women's tag title match. But I just feel like, Natty and Tamina are someone that they love them, but they don't know what to do with them. And they just never have known what to do with them. They try and try and try with these two women, but they don't know what to do.
Yeah, I've kind of never really cared too much for Tamina, and Natty is just, I mean, she's a great wrestler, and she deserves all the respect. But I mean, they haven't pulled the trigger with her by now. They're not going to, and even if they did, she's like Dolph Ziggler territory.
Yeah, it's time. It's getting there where, you know, like you're just gonna be in mid card hell. Like that's exactly where she's gonna be. She would, and I say this, and people think of she's the one who would benefit the most going to AEW. She would benefit the most because she's a big enough name for AEW to make her a dominant, respected wrestler. She would benefit the most going there. I think her time in WWE is just done. I think there's too many good women that are going to be getting called up, and she's just going to keep getting put on the back burner. It's, you know, it just is what it is. The next match we had on the card was this Kevin and Sammy. Am I wrong? Yeah. All right, this was Kevin and Sammy. This to me was phenomenal. I mean, I love both guys, and I'm a little biased. I love the match. I was disappointed in the pirate ship. We didn't get the pirate ship jump, but I love the match as a whole. They did a lot of great spots. My favorite spot was the suplex on the hard part of the ring, hardest part of the ring, Ryan. but I would say, and I love the fisherman he does off the second rope. I love that move that Kevin Owens does. That move always gets me. I thought this was a great story, great ending. Loved the way it happened. It was, you know, I love the finish where it was Logan Paul came in, he pushed Sammy on the ground, was raising Kevin Owens' hand, and like Kevin almost got protective of Sammy. It was like, don't put in, gave Logan Paul a stunner, and it's like, you know, I thought it was cool. I liked the way it turned out. It was a great match. I'm gonna give this an A minus. This was a really good
Yeah,
match.
this was nice. It was fine. I'm a huge Kevin Owens fan, a huge Sami Zayn fan, and I would say this was a great match, and everything worked out in the end, but I just feel like they WWE could have threw him a bone here, and they could have made this better than what it was. I thought they deserved better. It is not their fault. I thought they did great. They did excellent with what they had to work with. I just feel like WWE could have gave them a better build. The stunner from Owens was fine on Logan Paul, but I could have done without it. I would have rather focused on a better story and a more personal match between the two of them that somehow led to a pirate ship.
Yeah.
But
That
that's
would have
just
led
me
to the him
being
jumping off the
like
pirate
overly
ship, I think.
critical because I place them in such high regard and have high expectations. But it was great. I can't complain about it. It was perfect for what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely a B plus A minus match. I thought they did great with it. And they
Yes,
brought the
that was
crowd back
most
into it. I
important.
think that's the match that brought the crowd back into it. And I think Kevin and Sammy have earned title runs. And maybe not world, maybe mid card, but Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn need to win Money in the Bank. One of the two needs to win Money in the Bank, and they need to cash it in. I think it's time for you know, Sammy to start getting a huge push now too. Sammy is a great mic piece, phenomenal worker, has done nothing but prove that since day one in NXT to now. Kevin Owens, same thing. I know Vince was really tough on him and critical on him, and Vince is, you know, now changed his ways with him, thinks of him as a top guy, thinks of him as, you know, a guy they can build around. So let's see what happens from here on out. Going forward, we had the drum fight, the
No, we
Nigerian
had
drum fight,
Riddle and Sheamus.
right? Oh, that one came first. That's right. It was Flip Flops versus Ginger Hair. And this was a good match. It was good until one spot, and it really took away from it. And I wanted to make that point. Sheamus and Riddle, it was good up until the spot. Sheamus had him on the top rope, went for the Irish curse, botched it completely, fell off, did his in kudos to him. He protected Riddle. I'll give him that because he could have tried to fall back on it, but he would have really hurt Riddle. He did protect him, and then he didn't protect him and broke his face open with a broad kick after off a backflip. And this was to me, this was like a C. It wasn't nothing special. It was average. It would have been a higher grade for me if that botch didn't happen. That botch really, really took it out of me. I'm gonna give this as just a straight C. Sheamus is your new U.S. champion. I was hoping Keith Lee was gonna come out and do something, and I figured that's why they put it on Sheamus. But they might save that for Friday Night SmackDown, yeah, Monday Night Raw.
Plus, and I think it was well deserved by Sheamus. Thought he deserved the win.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing to write home about. It was, I think Sheamus has had better matches, and this match was more on Riddle than Sheamus.
I agree. I think Riddle. I didn't think Riddle did terrible. I don't think Sheamus did terrible. I just think that botch really took it out of me. I seen that and I'm like, oh God, this is Mania, guys. If you can't do it, don't do it. And it's just, but it was, and I think that hit to the face was a little bit of a receipt for that. I think Riddle kind of messed it up a little bit for Sheamus and he was kind of upset about it. But overall, yeah, it's just an average match to me. I could have watched this on SmackDown.
At this point,
SmackDown.
You were kind of like, with the start that they got off to, your any little thing like that, now you're going to notice it. Whereas if they had gotten off to a better start, you may have not noticed something like that as much.
100% agree. 100% agree. Next, we had the Nigerian drum fight, which was surprisingly great to me. I liked this a lot, and I thought it was a good match. But
yeah,
Ryan, I'll let you start with this.
Surprised me too. I didn't know when they were necessarily going with it. I was a little disappointed at first when I just saw some random drums on the side of the ring. I was like, oh God! But mm-hmm. I did not expect to see this type of match coming from these two. I knew it would be some kind of like false count anywhere or no rules match, but it was impressive. This, I thought Owens and Zayn were going to have the match of the night, and then this one, I got to say, kind of impressed me a little bit more than the Owens and Zayn one.
It did, and it was a solid match, and I was right. Dabo Kato was showing up for WrestleMania, and he did, but he showed up as the new partner of Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews is your Intercontinental Champion. It was time for Big E to give it up. We all were aware of that. I think Apollo Crews can have a nice run with the IC title and eventually work with Dabo Kato into a tag circuit where they need tag teams. So I was more than happy to have Apollo Crews and Dabo Kato as him to come out
I
and help him.
It's more interesting for Big E to chase.
It was a
Apollo.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think he will. I think they'll, because you know you're gonna get the remix of some of these matches right at Money in the Bank, right? This is what's gonna happen. Some of these matches you're gonna get the remix too, but well, I mean, I think yeah, Big E should be chasing Apollo for it, and. Now that Dabo Kato's there, which would be cool, you know, we'll see what happens at the draft. Does maybe Kofi or Xavier Woods, which I would say bring Kofi with Big E, is let them team and let Woods get his solo push now. You know what I mean? Like that's, you know, where I would like to see it go because I think Xavier Woods doesn't need the New Day anymore as much as they'll never split it up, but he can work
fine
on his own.
I saw people complaining that we were supposed to forget that Dabo Kato was in Raw Underground and like they're treating him as a totally different person now. But I mean, if you're not used to WWE logic by now, then I mean, I don't know what to tell you at this point. You got to expect that. But supposedly they trademarked a new name recently which was Commander Aziz or something like that. So I think that's gonna be his name.
Commander Cato would have been just fine. You know, here is Commander Cato. I'm okay with that. I'm okay. I felt like this was going to happen with Apollo, where he was going to have some type of wrestler, but I didn't know who it was. And I knew Dabo Cato, his name popped back up onto the active roster, so I kind of had a feeling he was going to help Shane. But I think this is a good fit for him. And again, WWE needs tag teams in the worst way. I expect Cruz to hold this to SummerSlam and then be in the tag.
In hindsight, it doesn't necessarily make sense for them to stick Kato with Shane, because Shane's not going to be on TV much longer after WrestleMania anyway. He doesn't stick around that long. So.
Right, and I just kind of thought they would make him as a solo entity to feud with Braun, and maybe just a couple weeks with Shane, and Shane fades off into the darkness. But this makes more sense, and it fits. All right, we are here.
So the women's match.
Yes. So we had Asuka versus Ripley, which. Not as good as Sasha and Bianca, and no one thought it was going to be, but this was a great match. If anybody, I felt it was a great, solid match, and it was one of the matches you knew this was going to happen, but you were still excited to see it. Asuka and Ripley, you know, put on a great show. I liked it. Overall, I'm happy Rhea Ripley is the Raw Women's Champion. I think Asuka had a nice run with the title. I'm going to give this a B+. I'm happy for it. And, you know, for people, you know, who are kind of like upset about it and complain about it, I feel like Ripley is this, there's a lot of dream matches for Ripley and a lot of matches. Like, again, I'm so glad that her NXT credibility stuck. She's ready to go. She's good on the mic. She's good in the ring. I'll take her as the champ on WrestleMania. I'm glad she got that moment, and I'm happy for her.
It almost seems like they're kind of steering her to go in a heel direction.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was fine. I had no complaints about this match. It was pretty much what I expected. But I still think Sasha and Bianca was the standout.
Yeah, I agree. It was just great to see the two women that feuded with Charlotte last year at with the NXT title last year, and Bianca and Rhea both were champions this year. And it was just great to see. I'm glad that they're pushing both these girls to the moon. Really, really, really happy for the both of them. But yeah, I'll give this a solid B+.
Yeah, and when this when you compare this to that match on night one, the tag team turmoil match, and you just see how some of the women performed, and you compare it to Ripley and Bianca, they needed this big. This is going to be huge for them going down the line now to have these two added to the group of girls that you can trust to, you know, always deliver.
Yeah. There's a reason why certain girls are put in this situation. Certain guys are put in this. And it shows. It just shows who takes it seriously, who grabs that proverbial brass ring. You know, certain people just do. And I'm happy for Ripley, happy for Bianca. I couldn't be more happy for the women's division right now and the champions. It was for a few years. It was a four-woman race between Bayley, Sasha, Becky and Charlotte, and I'm glad we're getting some new faces in there, and you know, it was good. It was overall good.
Speaking of Bayley, what did you think about Bayley's appearances on WrestleMania?
I thought they could have done. I mean, look, she's over with the character, and I'm glad. Like, I'm glad she was a part of WrestleMania both nights, and she had a way to portray herself in there, and makes me think that Bayley has some sort of not serious injury, but just something where she's not fully ready because she hasn't been working a lot. So it makes me think, like, because I think if Bayley was good to go, she would have been on the card somewhere. I think if she was 110, she'd be on the card somewhere. I mean, I think Becky trolled us, and we thought Becky was going to come out. We got the Bellas, which is fine. I'm okay with it.
And the crowd booed him. They booed the Bellas for beating her up.
I'm happy for that. Bayley deserved more, but I'm going to give WWE the benefit of doubt. Maybe she's dealing with something that she's not 100% with.
I was glad she was there, but yes, they could have done so much more for her.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that somewhere in the mix, Charlotte leaving and what Lacey Evans and just everything that's gone down, I just feel like they didn't have anything for her and they weren't going to throw her in something last minute just to throw her in something. So they found a way to squeeze her into the show.
Absolutely. They put Hogan and Titus in pirate suits, which we didn't talk about, which was epic in itself. I laughed so hard to see Hollywood Hulk pirate.
He's done, man. He's hit rock bottom. They booed him every time. Every time he spoke on the microphone, the crowd just booed him. And it's just a new low, man.
It is a new low.
It's time to go away.
Yeah. It's time to ride off in the sunset. Hulkamania is over. It's done. You know, it is what it is. Now, to talk about the main event. And speaking of matches that deliver, this match delivered everything I expected. It was everything. It was. I'm so glad they made it a triple threat. I'm so glad on how they did this and what they did with this and where they can go with this from here. It was amazing. Overall, top to bottom, this was the A+ for night two, in my opinion. The main event delivered. But I'm going to give it an overall rating of an A-, A in that range. I think it was great. Roman retaining, loved the way they did it. My only thing was, is I really wish Jimmy Uso would have came out. I really wish that was the case. I miss the Usos. We need them back in the tag division by all means. I was really hoping for Jimmy to come out. And when I seen someone jump Edge really quick, I thought it was Jimmy, but then I seen the hair and I'm like, nope, it's Jay.
I had the same thing happen, but then when I saw the shirt, right hand man, I'm like, they can't be two right hand men.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I was like, oh man, it's Jay. But it was, you know, this match delivered. I thought all of the stuff that Edge looked like prime Edge. He looked really good. A lot of people were worried about it. Brian looked good. As always, guy never really looks bad. Liked his new gear. Roman's the top dog, and I wasn't disappointed that they kept the title on him.
I was more shocked that they kept the title on him for the fact that they also kept the title on Bobby Lashley. I thought there was no way that we would get both of them leaving with the title, and that was like my wet dream for WrestleMania, and it came true, and I'm so happy.
Yes.
But, like, this match to me, as soon as the yes chants started going when Brian came out and then when Edge came out, this was the first time from night two where it really felt like WrestleMania to me. And I got into it. It just looked like a big match. It felt like a big match. And it just stood out to me compared to everything else. Not to say anything else was bad, but this just stuck out to me as the bright spot of the show. And I loved how they did it. I loved Roman stacking the bodies at the end. Because everybody thought, you know, Brian was in there to take the pin to either protect Roman or to protect Edge.
Mm-hmm.
But nope, he stacked both of them, pinned both of them. So I thought that was great too.
Yeah, I thought WWE, you know, I think with the DraftKings thing too, they kind of did some swerves, and I mean, look, my kid was rooting for Daniel Bryan. I was rooting for a great match. I didn't care who won. I was really glad that Roman retained. You know, I thought they were going to protect him and bring him to Raw. Apparently, they're going to keep him on SmackDown for now. Or maybe they do a champion swap. That's also possible. But it was overall great, great, great match. Great way to end WrestleMania. They stole the show, and I was happy for all three of them. I thought they all did an amazing job. I loved when Edge had Roman pinned and Daniel Bryan pulled him out, because this is just going to lead to an Edge and Daniel Bryan feud, which is going to be gold in itself. So you can't complain.
Yeah, that's what I'm most excited for, is the Edge and Daniel Bryan feud, just because of their, both of their backstories, and it's going to be great.
Yep.
And just buys more time for Roman to keep that belt.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think Roman's going to keep it forever, but if the plan is for next year's WrestleMania to have The Rock there, then I could see him holding the belt for right up until next year's Mania.
Yeah. Or at least, even if he does lose it, maybe somehow getting it back before then. But yeah, I thought this kind of saved the show. If this match would have disappointed, then I think overall it would have left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. But I think that this match being so good can kind of make you forget some of the other stuff and forgive it.
Yeah. I mean, and I wouldn't be surprised if Money in the Bank, it's Edge and Roman by themselves. Daniel's had his shots. Edge can argue that it was a triple threat. Daniel Bryan cost him it. I want a one-on-one with Roman. And, you know, they can do that next, you know, and then set up Bryan and Edge, and Bryan can cost them again, and they could set that up.
Well, you might have missed it, because I missed it. Apparently, they had some kind of preview during one of the commercials or something for the next pay-per-view, and it's going to be WrestleMania Backlash. And I believe it's May, I don't know, like 16th or 19th, or I don't know, whatever one probably falls on a Sunday, but...
Mm.
Yeah, WrestleMania Backlash apparently is the next one.
Okay, so I did miss that. Yeah, so WrestleMania Backlash. I knew there was something that was before Money in the Bank. I always just assumed that it was something else. But so WrestleMania Backlash, which would be good. Ugh, excuse me. Which would be, you know, you'll probably get a lot of rematches. It's 6 weeks away. They'll book it accordingly. But overall, I'm going to give WrestleMania an A-. As a whole, I thought it was a great show, great telling, great finishes to certain feuds. I love Bianca's I love the Bianca match, the Roman Reigns match. Cesaro, Sammy, Kevin. There was a lot of great matches on hand. There was a lot of surprises. The Bad Bunny. It was a great WrestleMania, and it was a great WrestleMania with fans, and I was happy for it.
Yeah, I agree. I give it the exact same grade, an A-.
Mm-hmm.
It was great to finally get to WrestleMania, and it's kind of sad that it's over now, and now we have to go back to the Thunderdome, and I just can't wait till we get fans back full time.
Yeah, and I think we're gonna start. See, actually, the one thing I was excited for, and it had nothing to do with I'm a Bad Bunny fan, but the fact that he announced his 2022 tour is promising. So maybe WWE is going to follow suit with that and really start getting back into the swing of things towards the end of 2021 into 2022.
That's all you can hope for.
So let's talk about, you know, the side stuff along with all of WrestleMania. We'll start with the Jericho Stone Broken Skull Sessions. We both watched that probably this afternoon. Really good podcast with Stone Cold and Jericho. Jericho very respectful. Stone Cold very respectful. Allowing, you know, and Vince, you know, them telling the story. Vince was more than happy to have Jericho on the Broken Skull Sessions, and I thought that was great and promising to hear. I still believe what CM Punk says, and Vince has every right to not view this as a threat. 600,000 viewers isn't a threat to WWE. When on bad nights, they get 1.2.
Well, the fact that he was allowed to mention AEW right off the bat, it just really drove home to me how Vince is not really threatened at all.
Yeah.
But, this was overall what I expected. I was shocked by how much he got to talk about AEW and his other stuff outside of WWE, but this was pretty much what I thought we were going to get.
Yeah, yeah. He got to talk about New Japan, AEW, Ring of Honor. He got to talk about a lot of stuff. And, you know, kudos to WWE. I thought this was really cool and a good step in the right direction. I also feel like as classy as Chris Jericho was, the owner of AEW is very classless on night one of WrestleMania, making posts, mocking, almost, you know, trying to say he was trying to be helpful to the WWE. And let me clarify this, Tony. And you may, I don't care if you ever hear this or you do. Vince don't need your help. Worry about your exploding death matches not having sparklers coming out. Worry about since that pay-per-view, you have lost ratings and you are stuck in 600,000 hell. Worry about the fact that you can't tell a story. Worry about the fact you have all these great wrestlers and do too many high spots and you have way too many factions, way too many tag teams than you know what to do with. And worry about the fact that you build Cody Rhodes like Superman when he's not even that good of a wrestler. Worry about MJF, how you should be pushing him and he should be your world champion right now. Or worry about Hangman Page, how you should be pushing him and he should be your world champion right now. And just shut the fuck up. Because WWE, no matter what, as bad as it is, they always somehow seem to deliver some way, some form. NXT is a better show than yours. WWE is a better show than yours. Monday Night Raw sucks. And hopefully that's going to change. But, Tony, you have no business speaking on WrestleMania.
Yeah, the whole thing was just laughable. I mean, yeah, he comes out with this three-paragraph rant to pat himself on the back. And, oh, hey, look at what I came up with. And, oh, I'm not trying to insult anybody. And it's like, oh, just shut up. You got to make everything about yourself. And just the arrogance is a turnoff, especially with all the improvements they need to make.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they need a lot of work moving forward and getting to, you know, this is supposed to be a WWE alternative, and I don't think it delivers to be that. To be honest with you, your world champion supposed to, you know, you got this big merge, New Japan and TNA, and your world champion goes on TNA to help boost ratings, and they actually get lower ratings than what they normally get, which is laughable in itself, and it goes to show you, like, look, Kenny is a great worker. He's not a superstar. And you're not going to make him one until he starts working real superstars. There's a reason why Moxley was limited in the WWE. He's a great worker. He's a great mic piece. he's not the total package. He's not.
Well, I feel like in hindsight, we shouldn't even be giving Tony Khan this much time to even talk about him, because this is what he wants, you know, and it should have been about WrestleMania, but
yeah, you know,
he's going to make it about himself.
Yeah, it was a moment that, I mean, look, you got Tyson for two nights. You brought Tyson in thinking, oh, cool, we got Tyson, you know, which is whatever. Good for Mike Tyson. You got your pay-per-view coming up on Memorial Day. You got your, you know, your blood and guts match. You got exactly, you know, worry about making that pay-per-view deliver. Don't worry about what WWE is doing, because you're not direct competition with them. Even Jericho said, we're an alternative. You just made Jericho look stupid on the Stone Cold podcast by coming in here and trying to mock WWE and try to go in a full competition with Vince. And then one of your biggest stars from WWE is like, yeah, we're an alternative. We don't compete with Vince. Some other stuff with wrestling. I mean, let's Let's do this. We'll combine the NXT and WrestleMania cards, and let's come up with five matches between both that would have made the perfect card. I thought this would have been cool to do with all four nights. I mean, I probably would the five matches I'd probably go with is Cole and O'Reilly, Balor and Cross, the Triple Threat, Sasha and Bianca, and then I would probably throw the Bad Bunny actually on there.
Oh, so no Walter and Gargano.
Walter and Ciampa would have been my six. That would have been
Or
my
not
six.
Gargano. What am I
Yeah.
saying?
Walter and Ciampa would have been my six. I love that match, and I would have threw it on there, but I think those five matches really elevated. I have to throw the Bad Bunny one on there. That match was monumental. I would have threw Ciampa and Walter on there, but that match was just so monumental. It had to be added.
I would probably agree with you, and I would swap out Bunny with Seth and Cesaro, and that's just for my own biases.
Yeah, I mean Seth and Cesaro is another one. I mean, like there was so many good matches from the from this week. There's so much to choose from, and I'm not discrediting anything that happened, but I mean there's a lot. There was a lot of great things that happened this week. I'm disappointed that it's over, but we have Monday Night Raw to preview and look forward to. Do you think any, Raw after Mania is usually where the surprises come. A lot of people like to see them at Mania, but they always happen the Monday Night Raw after. I'm assuming Keith Lee might show up. I don't know any other surprises that may happen, but I'm going to go with Keith Lee as being one big surprise that comes back.
I would think that would be the most likely. I hope there's a surprise. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I had any idea of if there was going to be one and what it would be. But if I had to bet on something, I would think a Keith Lee return would be more likely than anything.
I think Aleister Black shows up too.
Yeah, that's usually a possibility. I could also see Io Shirai showing up if she doesn't stay in NXT.
The call-ups are going to be interesting. Like, who shows up for a minute? Because there's going to be one, maybe two. I just don't know. You know, like, because as much as Ciampa is like, I'm NXT, and Gargano's like, I'm NXT. Ciampa's 35. He's done everything in NXT. There's nothing more he could do. At some point, he's got to be in the back of his head and saying, like, can I make it up there? Like, can I really make it up there? Like, you know what I mean? And like, maybe he does. Maybe that's what he said. Maybe. But I think Shirai might be one that shows up. Who would be the other one?
To be honest, I don't think anybody's going to show up because this whole WrestleMania backlash thing that's going on, I feel like that screams rematches, a lot of rematches, and not too much new stuff going on.
Yeah, but there also could be one to two. I wouldn't be surprised if Finn pops back up. Maybe not on Raw, but maybe SmackDown. Roman, at the end of the day, who's Roman gonna face?
That's the big question. Yeah, who is Roman going to face?
Finn just had an amazing dominant run down in NXT. It's very believable that and Finn has beaten Roman a couple times. Roman's put him over a couple times. So, just maybe. Just maybe. Finn might be the guy to show up on SmackDown. I wouldn't say Raw, I would say SmackDown.
I'm also hopeful for a Jimmy Uso return. We
Jimmy
didn't
was
get it at Mania, so hopefully we could get that on SmackDown.
Jimmy would be good, and Roman could, you know, have a match with him quickly and you know, get him in line and let Jimmy acknowledge him as his tribal chief as well.
I feel like with Jey Uso winning the Andre Memorial Battle Royal, and he just got a new shirt, you know, some merchandise. I mean, bringing Jimmy in couldn't be a bad thing, even if it's just a feud with his brother.
Yeah.
Even been waiting long enough, man. It's about time.
Yeah.
Come on. Get it over with. I'm tired of waiting for it.
He could have a match with Jey and then lead up to a match with Roman and then ends up falling in line at some point. I mean, because you can't break the Usos up. You can't. You need tag teams.
Another possible thing is, too, the rumor is that Samoa Joe is going to commentary on SmackDown. Maybe that is really just because he's coming back to wrestling, and getting him on the SmackDown commentary team is a way of interjecting him into something with Roman.
That's very possible, too. And I know they love Joe, and they want to put it. They want to give him a title run, and he's just been hurt when it's been his time to have the title run. I mean, I might even go out and say he's had probably the best matches with Brock Lesnar out of anybody in the WWE. I think he's had probably the best match with Brock. Personally, I think, you know, Brock respected him enough and worked him. It wasn't like Braun, where he would just, you know, I think it was in the triple threat. It was him, Braun, and Brock.
To me, he's one of the most believable talents they have.
Yeah.
Him and Roman would be so good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'd put him over, but it would just be, you know, another Kevin Owens type deal. But it would. You definitely buy it, that's for sure.
Yeah. And you could, there's so much you could do. He can get in Roman's face. He's like, you know, you can call yourself a tribal chief all you want, but you're not part of my tribe. And, you know, they could really get deep into that. And, you know, I mean, at some point, like, too, I mean, you could even do it another way. You could even do it as Joe joining them and then breaking off from it, like, at some point. Like, you could build that in so many different ways, and it would be incredible to see. Well, you know, Joe is definitely a possibility. He's been going to appointments. He's been on and off Raw for that. I'm assuming that he's trying to get cleared for this year. Well, this is the start of the year now. But for the start of this year to get out of commentary and into wrestling. I know he's been working out and going back to the gym too. He's been posting pictures of that. And he's, you know, I'm hoping that this is the case and Joe starts, you know, they start getting Samoa Joe back in the ring.
And when the rumors are awful convenient too, like how, like all these rumors come out about him getting ready to come make a return to the ring. And then all of a sudden, all these rumors about him going to SmackDown for commentary come out. And it's like, you know, it could be just a coincidence, but it's interesting timing.
I think they're trying to throw you off the scent a little bit. It's definitely something I feel like they're trying to do is throw you off the scent.
Just with the Samoan heritage and everything, it makes too much sense not to have him involved. It's just good storytelling.
That's it. What else?
We got NXT debuting on Tuesday right after Raw, so that'll be interesting too. But WrestleMania week technically isn't over.
Yeah, it is. Oh man, Charlotte's posting, and I'm just reading some tweets, seeing if I can get some. Oh man, we are having technical difficulties, but we are going to get through it. WrestleMania got through a hurricane. We'll get through this. So, I mean, I mean, and it's crazy, Ryan, because like I was just thinking about this too while we got disconnected. We just had a whole week of wrestling. Now we're gonna go right into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Friday. We don't get a day off from wrestling until Thursday. I mean, I'm probably still not gonna watch AEW. So, I mean, but at the end of the day, it's insane. Like, I'm happy NXT moves to Tuesdays. I mean, you don't miss the Raw after Mania. It's usually a good one. Sometimes it's lackluster, but I'm hoping they deliver this week.
I'm interested to see what the new Thunderdome setup is like now that they've moved out of Tropicana Field. And I think by Wednesday I'm going to be burnt out, and I'll most likely check out the highlights on social media and go back and watch a few things that interest me and fast forward through most of it. But
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch it on demand and I'll have it on in the background at some point. Definitely, like Wednesday and Thursdays are not my really. I watch it for the podcast to kind of keep up with it so I can discuss it. I'm not even saying that. I'm not even like, I don't hate on it because I don't want to just be a hater of it. I mean, I loved some of these guys in the independent scene. And I did like Kenny in the Independence. I did like the Bucks, but I think that these guys were like top tier guys. I just didn't think they were great mic pieces. I just thought they were great wrestlers. That's kind of how I've always viewed them as. They're just on a different level. I mean, I was telling people about Kevin Steen long before he was KO and in NXT. I've watched him for a long. That's why he's one of my favorites. I actually bought his Ring of Honor figure because of, that's like, I was always a big, big Kevin Owens fan. And, back in the TNA days, I did enjoy it when AJ and Samoa Joe was on it and Christian was on the show and they really had something going back then. I don't really watch TNA much anymore. I put it on as a last resort when my kids watch wrestling 9 times. And just want something different on, but I mean, when it comes down to it, I'm just not overly sold on AEW. It's a nice alternative. I mean, I love Jericho. I always will love Jericho. I'm even Moxley. I'm a big Moxley guy, and then I like I think Hangman Page, MJF, Orange Cassidy all have something there, but I think they have a lot of work to do. And LAX, I love LAX.
They're slowly losing me. I mainly tune in for Inner Circle. And last week, Tony Khan announced that he was bringing Tyson on and how big it was going to be. And he promised it was going to be great and you're going to love it and blah, blah, blah. And, then they bring him out to, help fight alongside the Inner Circle and him and Jericho side by side. And it was just like Jericho had cut such a great promo earlier in the show. And then at the end, they just do that. And the whole Tyson thing was just embarrassing. It really was. And it was just like, oh, Tony Khan, they're trying to sell you a bill of goods again. And I was just like, ugh, like I've given you enough chances. I'm kind of just getting turned off to it.
It is, and it's sad because there is workers I love, and I love LAX, Santana and Ortiz. I love Jericho. I love Britt Baker. They don't push her. Why do I care about your women's division when she's the most over one? Do I like Ty Conti? Yeah, to a degree, but do I think she's better than Britt Baker? No, no. Britt Baker should be your champion. There's no way, shape, or form that girl should not be your champion. She's the most over right now, and she should be a champion. And like, it's just sad because you kind of treat her like a jobber.
Yeah, I love Britt Baker. I love LAX, all of them too, but I just don't. I don't love the show.
Yeah, I don't love them enough. I don't love what they're doing with the people I like on the show. So it's not worth it for me to watch. And people who love Kenny Omega, I get why you watch it. People who love the Young Bucks, I get why you watch it. I mean, people will go glorify the Bucks as the greatest tag team. They're not. They're rocker ripoffs that use Undertaker and Shawn Michaels moves as to mock the WWE, which is cool. But the best tag team from that Indies era will always be the Briscoe brothers to me and War Machine. Like, those would be the two that would be like, yeah, those are the two that really captivated me when they were Ring of Honor, New Japan, stuff like that.
Well, I was excited to get to know all these people because I wasn't into the indie scene or the Young Bucks or Kenny Omega or any of these guys. And so this was all new to me. And I was like, oh, cool. I'm finally going to get exposed to this stuff. But they haven't done anything to hook me or sell me on a lot of those guys. So,
and it's tough. I mean, they haven't done enough to hook a lot of casual fans, because if they did, Ryan, those numbers would be to the moon. And they're not going to get there. I mean, I think they're good for what they are. I think they have their moments. They have some great stuff. But I feel like they push the wrong things and they push the wrong envelopes. And it is what it is. I think I'm very excited for NXT. I think NXT had a very great takeover. Is it the best takeover ever? It's up there. It's one of the better ones. I think TakeOver Brooklyn's still my favorite. But it's up there as one of the better takeovers. And, you know, things just delivered all across the board for WWE. The thing I worry about and the thing that I'm always critical about on WWE is Monday Night Raw needs to be better. That's the flagship show, and they need to be consistent.
Yeah, and after the slow start they had tonight, I'm sure not everybody's going to be as forgiving as us. So they've kind of got to come make a good comeback tomorrow night and really deliver with the Raw.
Yeah, they do. I mean, but let's be honest, Ryan. The people who are overly critical about WWE, those are the kids that are like, the smart marks, the kids that are like, oh, yeah, I just want to watch Kenny Omega and the Yoshis and the Joshis and whatever. And just, like, that's what they want to see. And, like, I just remember I went to a house show, WWE, this was a long time ago with an ex-girlfriend a long, long time ago. And there was this guy behind me. And, like, Carlito was working, and he's like, guy, oh, I remember him in ROH. He was a lot better there. Well, and then like another guy, oh, he was a lot better in ROH. And then like finally I just went, why don't you just go to an ROH show? Like, just seriously, like, just like, to like, these are the type of people that just wrestling's, oh, it'll never be good enough for them. It'll never be the top show. It'll never be that. It is what it is with me. WWE is the top dog and people are going to hate on it. Just strictly off of the fact that it is the top dog.
Pretty much.
Interesting article that just popped up. It said that Roman Reigns has entered GOAT status in wrestling per Bleacher Report. You sell or no sell on that, Ryan? We're going to sell or no sell on it. We'll end it with some Roman talk.
I'm going to sell it.
I think it is, man. To be honest with you, I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to take it. Ryan, take it there with me.
I got to walk that. No, not the GOAT. He's definitely not the GOAT. One of the GOATs.
Not
yes.
The GOAT, but he's going – GOAT status means
legend.
He's in the conversation.
Legend, yes, legend, for sure.
Yes, not the he's in the conversation now. And I'm going to take this right to the moon. I'm taking it to the moon. I think he is. I think people need to stop acknowledging him as their tribal chief, because this man is gold. And I think they paired him with the right guy in Paul Heyman, and it's all come together beautifully for him.
And he got booed tonight. He got booed. So that was cool, because I thought that the fans might and cheer him, and I'm like, oh wow, watch, when they wanted them to cheer Roman they booed him, and now that they want him to boo him they're gonna cheer him. And so they actually booed him, which It was good.
And
It's
I'm
good to see
glad.
him get the reaction he should have got in the role that he's playing.
I think WWE fans during COVID have smartened up a bit
Little bit.
and know if you want a guy to stay a heel and do what he's doing, you got to boo him. Got to boo him.
It felt like that, but it's only time will tell.
Let's hope so. Other than that, is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, not at all. I think we've covered everything. I'm almost ready for a little break from wrestling for a bit.
That's right. I think we covered a lot of it. Did what we had to do. We're gonna be bringing some football talk in soon. We got the NFL draft coming up. We are a sports show. We have a few shows that we like to. We have a dedicated wrestling show, and we want to get some more dedicated sports stuff out. Once football comes back, we really cover football the most. But other than that, we will be back. We'll probably be back Wednesday. We'll recap NXT and Raw, and if we catch a little bit of the highlights of AEW. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is The Gimmick. Thank you, as always, and hope everybody enjoyed Mania. We'll be back next week.
Niggas rope, don't put your neck in it. Got my troops in off-white boots. Pulled up, I had my foot hanging out the coop. Off-white flannel looking like a lumberjack. With the 30 popping, you don't want none of that. D-square, apron over D-squares. Ronnie Fake, I need size 9 and every pair. Do a nigga filthy for the right price. Throwing Perry on the lobster and fried rice. All I need is one prick. And like an eagle, high in the sky. I'll fly you. Hey yo, tripods out of Teslas. Scrape the pots for the extras. Bodies dropping on the regular. Run laps around these other rap niggas for fun. That fashion week with the M1. Y'all niggas bumps. Killer designer, a serial killer. Niggas thought I was just rhyming illa. Then I pulled out the stick. Run your jewels, run the money. You try to run and hop the fence. Tore his back up like Junior, nigga. Filthy rich. Watch my sins with Ace. A lawyer walk by. All this work is flake. I'm a beef fly forever. Stove work. She sniffing so much molly. That bitch knows her. I was on the path getting money on the F. Fiends Millie Rockin' seeing out my work glass. If shit slow up, I'ma look prettier in the mask. The cracks in the chip bag, the Mac by the trash. The 45 look big on his forehead. Shot him more times, left that nigga more dead.